just thank you for those that are here and those that are listening live as well. Lord, the rest of our family, our extended family, wherever they might be. And Lord, thank you for this day. And thank you even for the cold weather that's coming. But we do pray, Lord, for safety for everyone. Everyone, wherever there's a winter storm warning, that their travel will be safe, that no accidents, Lord, and that we'll all be kept safe and secure in our homes. And Lord, bless this day. Bless us now that we've gathered together to celebrate Thanksgiving, to celebrate this morning with a Thanksgiving Day message. And Lord, our week message, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for those that have been ill, that those that are recovering, Danny, Lowell, Lord, be with them, provide for them for every need, and all the rest of those that we're praying for. And Lord, now be with us and help me to teach your word. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's turn to a very, very familiar passage in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as I turn there with you, and read, let's begin in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes in chapter 5, verse 14, he says, and now we exhort you, brethren, warn those that are unruly, and comfort the weak, the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourself and for all. And then the commands, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Today is the day that every year we bring forth the Thanksgiving week message. And today, as we look toward Thanksgiving, you know, I think that maybe that wonderful spiritual discipline of Thanksgiving is quite misunderstood today in the world, but it's maybe even in the church. And, you know, Thanksgiving, of course, is that national holiday, and we're going to have turkey and dressing and all the wonderful things that go along with it. And, you know, and even our president, you know, he's going to have he'll pardon a turkey, remember? Has he done that yet? Maybe that's later on in the week, and he pardons a turkey. He really does do that. Y'all know that, right? Yes, he sends a turkey way out to some farm someplace. He'll not be a sacrifice, in other words, and he'll live out on the farm the rest of his day. So the Lord bless that turkey. But speaking of Thanksgiving, you know, the first Thanksgiving goes, of course, all the way back to the pilgrims there in 1621 or whenever. And it was declared a time for the nation, though, later on by our first president, President George Washington, who said this. He proclaimed that the first nationwide Thanksgiving celebration in America is on November 26, 1789. And this is what he said. He says, I declare a public day of thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts, and I pray our hearts are grateful every day, grateful hearts, the many favors of Almighty God. Amen? That's what Thanksgiving's really about. It's not about football games, although that'll be covered on our TVs, and of course. But you know, the thing is that Thanksgiving is not a day. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, normally, you know, we're in a book and we go verse by verse this morning. I'm going to be jumping all over the Bible, and then I'll finally end up for just a few minutes in the text I just read to you. So I hope you're there. That way in 20 minutes when I get there, you won't say, Bill, where are we supposed to be? Amen? Now, Thanksgiving is one of my, I think it is my favorite holiday, if you will. I love Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving because it's a time to come together with the family. And I know Christmas is that way too, but Thanksgiving is really about giving thanks, isn't it? Just being thankful for what you have, thankful for the nation that we live in, thankful for all the glorious, wonderful things that God has provided for us in our lives, enjoying family and a wonderful dinner. But it says in Proverbs 15:17, it says, better is a dinner of herbs, or better is a dinner of vegetables, where love is, than a fatted calf with hatred. There's nothing, you want to have a banquet, a banquet for Thanksgiving, then let that house be filled with love. Amen? Love never fails. It never gives up. I love that song that we were singing. You know, it's so good to know that. And I pray as you celebrate Thanksgiving that your home is filled with not only the love of Christ, but the love one for another. You know, it says also in Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. So Thanksgiving is a day that we need to thank the Lord. But it's more than just a day. The psalmist has told us, you know, that we are to praise the Lord at all times. Matter of fact, the giving of thanks is not even an option in our life here. It says in Colossians 3:17, let me just read this verse to you. It says, "And whatever you do in word," whatever comes out of your mouth, "whatever you do in deed," it says, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," meaning do all in dependence upon him. And here's the key, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm going to ask you a question. When we think about giving thanks, because it's so easy to be thankless today, isn't it? All of us, we can all be guilty of that. And matter of fact, it happens all the time in our lives. But here's the thing that we need to look. It says, the Bible says, whatever I do, everything that I'm doing in this life, whether it's word, whether it's deed, action, whatever, it says giving thanks. Boy, I'll tell you, that's what Thanksgiving is really about. See, Thanksgiving is just not a single day. Thanksgiving's every day for the Christian, amen? Whatever you're doing in your life, say, Lord, I'm giving thanks to your name. You know, and the thing is that for here, the Bible says in Hebrews, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. It may, you know what, we may be going home with the Lord today. He may come for our church, not just ours, but, you know, yeah, that sounded bad, didn't it? Yeah. We would be really thankful, I can tell you that, though, yes. But the fact of the matter is, it says in Hebrews where I was reading from, it says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. Let me ask you a question. It says for us, see, Thanksgiving is not just a day. Thanksgiving is whatever we're doing. It's not only whatever we're doing, it is absolutely to be continually giving thanks to God, giving thanks to his name. Aren't you glad that we can turn to the God of all comfort this morning, the God of all hope this morning, the God of all peace this morning, the God of all provision this morning, and we can say, oh, Lord, you are our provider. Everything that we need in our life, we can look to you. We know you're going to take care of us. It says, the psalmist has said in Psalm 69, it says, I will praise the name of God with song and then magnify him, and it tells us how. Magnify God with thanksgiving. Let me ask you a question, not to put you on the spot, not to make you feel bad, but to provoke your heart as much as it provokes my own heart. Did you give thanks unto the Lord today? Were you thank the Lord? Were you, Lord, I just give thanks unto your name for all that you are. There's over, like you've heard me say so many times, there are over 80 Old Testament names for God. But the New Testament name that I love the most is the word Father. He is our Father. And our Father implies relationship. It also implies that he is our provider. He's going to take care of each and every need. But I guess the question we need to ask ourselves, as I asked myself yesterday when I was putting this together, I asked myself two questions. I said, why is giving thanks important? Why is it important for the believer? And why is it so easy to be thankless in our life? You remember the story there that Jesus, in Luke's gospel, when the 10 lepers came and, oh, Lord, have mercy upon us, and Jesus healed them. And they went away, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went away, they were all healed, but there was one that saw that he was healed. And it says in Luke's gospel that one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, and here it is, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. But only one returned. All the nine, they left. And it says, he was giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, well, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Because he was a Samaritan. Now listen, you know, I read that. And I said, it's so easy to be thankless. You know, we can sit in our homes and we can have a nice home. We can have a warm home. We can have a car that's maybe paid for or making payments on it. Full tank of gas. You know, we can have our credit card. All the things that we have. And we can sit, refrigerator full of food. And yet, for some reason, we can be thankless, can't we? Come on, don't be religious like the first service. I really got onto them. I told them the second service that, no, the second service, they're not religious at all. They really know what's going on. Why is it important to be thankful? Well, I just read from Luke's gospel, number one, it gives glory to the right person. It gives glory to God. But the second thing is that Jesus said, only one person came back. Well, I know that all ten were healed, but only this one guy is the only one that came back. Now, listen, this is an important revelation. I pray you grab it in your heart that, you know what, our thanks is important to Jesus because he valued it. He puts a value on that thanks. He said only that one person came back, and that means he misses it when it's not expressed. That's why this Paul writes in Ephesians 5:20, listen to this, he says, giving thanks always for all things, and it's offered to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one who paid and earned to bring all the blessings we have. Amen. But it says giving thanks always. The Bible teaches us that we're not only to give thanks in everything that we do, not just a day, but every day, continually. And then it says giving thanks always. Listen, I looked up that word in the Greek, always. Do you know what that word means? Always. That's exactly right. It means always. In other words, everything. And then listen, not only giving thanks always, but it says for all things. Would you say that those are huge words? Come on. Giving thanks always. I mean, how many people, don't raise your hand, how many people complained on the way to church this morning? Oh, how many people when they found out that the cafe was closed went, what kind of church is this anyway? You know, I was all prepared to go in there and have my breakfast that I have every Sunday in the place, the table that I always eat at. Now, there was no coffee. Matter of fact, I went in there and got the last drop of coffee. I did. It just sputtered. And I said, I'm thankful. Yeah, no, and you say, you know, and you're just all bent out of shape, you know, and no, listen, we are a thankless bunch, and you know what, there's something wrong with us. We need to get our hearts right and our minds right and our spirits right. We need to be thankful for all things. Listen, it says giving thanks always for all things. If we are to thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, at all times, for all things, would you say that the giving of thanks is very, very important for the believer? Absolutely. The matter of fact, the psalmist put it this way in Psalm 34, verse 1. He says, I will bless the Lord, here's that word again, at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, what kind of people would we be if we practice what is being spoken here, the true word of God? And, you know, the things that come out of our mouth. Proverbs 18, I don't know, 1 or 17, where it is right there. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Oh, we need to speak life and so forth. So the giving of thanks for the believer is so important. It's so important. Now, listen carefully. That God actually commands us to be thankful. Think about that. And there's a reason why. Look back now. You should be at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but I'm going to be in verse 16 there. Now watch this. It says, rejoice only on Thanksgiving. No. It says, rejoice when? Always. Would you say that's 24/7? There's something that happens when a Christian is rejoicing always. Now listen, that is a command. And I don't want to shy away from that verse because it's very easy to shy away from that. You know, and I tell you, we fall short of that all the time, don't we? Yes, we do. We fall short of this verse, and I know exactly why we fall short of this verse. Is because we know it's a command. We're to be a people that rejoice always, but the problem is we try to rejoice always in the wrong things. Does that make sense? See, listen, what is the object of our rejoicing? The problem? The circumstance? The warfare? No, the trial, the testing? No. The Bible is so clear. The object of our rejoicing is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, if you want to write it down. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. He's the object of our rejoicing. And then Paul goes on again. And he says, and again, I will say rejoice. That is a command. Philippians 4:4 is not only a command. It's so important that Paul repeats it. It's so easy to be thankless. You know, I was telling the first service, I remember, and some of you will remember the old church where we first started out all those years ago, 21 years ago, over there in the west side. And I remember one morning, it was February, it was so cold. It's just like it is right now. That's what reminded me of it. I was thinking about it was dark and it was lonely out there. It was getting ready to probably rain and snow or whatever was going to happen. And I was freezing. And I was at the church on a Sunday morning early, and the wind had blown so much, all the trash from the neighborhood collected right there at the church. You understand? And so I'm out there by myself with this trash bag, man, and I'm putting all this in there, and, you know, my nose is running, and I'm messing up my good looks, you know, and all that. And I'm going, where are the deacons? Where are the elders? Where are the believers at? I'm out there all by myself, and I clean everything up because we want the church to look nice when people show up. But there was a fence at the back of the church. And all the wind had blown all, you know, how the newspapers stick to the fence and all that, all the way down. And I looked at it, I said, I'm not going over there. And I was walking toward the door of the church, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, go clean it all up. Go get all that paper. And I went, no. And I kept walking toward, it says, go get that paper. And I mean, can I tell you that I was not thankful? I mean, I'm out there picking all that junk up, you know, and I'm complaining about it, and I've got to go preach. And back then I was leading worship too. I was a complainer. So I look at that fence and I walk there, and the wind was blowing. My hair just blew right in front of my face, you know. And I go along there and I'm picking up that paper and I'm shoving it into that plastic bag. And there was one piece left over there, and I just went over there and grabbed it and shoved it in there. When I looked down, it was a $20 bill. I went, ho! Lord, man, I mean, I was a Pentecostal all the way from that fence to the front door of that church. I was thankful. But you see, I was rewarded and I was going, oh, Lord, you're so good. But you see how quickly we can come from thankless to thankful. God says, no, I want you to be thankful all the time. I want you to have a heart set and a mindset of being thankful for all that you're doing in your life. That's what God wants us to do. And then he goes, he looks at this next command. He says, pray without ceasing. Oh, to never give up. Not praying 24/7, but that persistent prayer, that passionate prayer, that type of prayer that says, no matter what I'm going through, Lord, I know that your ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. I know that you hear me. I know that you love me. Oh, you'll never leave me. And I say, Lord, that's what we need to do. Now watch this. In verse 18, in what? Does that cover a lot of territory? Huh? In everything, give thanks. It didn't say for everything. It says in it. In everything, give thanks. And then it tells us why. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that verse? Honestly now, it's easy to read it, but do you believe it? You know, it says in everything. See, Thanksgiving is just not a day. Thanksgiving is about whatever we're doing, whatever comes out of our mouth, whatever actions that we're doing in our life. It's to be always, it's to be continually, it's to be daily, and now it's to be in everything. It doesn't say to thank God for the circumstance, whatever you're facing and so forth. It says to thank God in every circumstance in our life. Now, let me ask you a question. Again, what is the object of our thanks? Or who is the object of our thanks? Jesus, we look unto him. See, God says that you are in my will is when you do this. I'm going to ask you a question. How important is it to be in the will of God? It's the safest place in the world, isn't it? To be in the, I mean, listen to me now. In everything, what are you facing? Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever it is, God says in everything, not for it, but in everything, whatever you're doing, he says, I want you to give thanks, for this is the will of God for in Christ Jesus concerning you. Boy, that is a powerful, powerful scripture, but it's also a command. See, God is trying to get us to a place to where all of a sudden, yes, where the circumstances and the trials and the testings of life, where they don't cripple us. Amen? See, God knows how to protect us. And so many people, you know, we look at that and we just say, you know, it's not working. Well, let me tell you something. And you know it as well as I do. Life is not always fair. Amen? No, life is not fair. We all have all kinds of problems. You know, listen, we face issues all during our life, all each and every one of us. You know, we can come in and maybe some of you, you're in a storm. It's like, Bill, my whole world is just crumbling. My whole world is just falling apart. You know, you've heard me say over and over again, if you've been here at Calvary throughout the years, you know, every season of your life, meaning your age group, whether you start out, you're 8-year-old and now you're an 80-year-old. Every decade, I have found that we're going to be faced with not only warfare is continuous, but we're going to be faced with new challenges the older that we grow in the Lord. Amen. God is going to grow us up. And so, you know, the thing is, what are we going to do? Because the storms sometimes, they're not subsiding. And here's what happens in the midst of a storm, a challenge, a trial. Satan's there, believe me. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. He wants you to be thankless. Listen, Satan loves thankless Christians, but he is terrified of a thankful man or woman of God because he knows that here they are in the midst of that situation. And you know, the thing is, listen, if we knew, like right now, whatever you're facing, any kind of circumstance, listen, if we could look right now into the supernatural, you know what we would find? We would find here we are in this, we would see this horrible circumstance we're in, but then if we could see into the supernatural, we'd say, oh my, oh Lord, you have 1,000 angels around me. Oh no, not only that, the blessings that are coming my way, the protection that you're offering me. Oh, and you know, yes, I see it's happening, but I can look now at the author and the finisher of my faith. Oh, I know it's going to work out. Are you listening to me? See, if we could, but we don't. But see, what happens is when we don't see it, we don't know why it's happening, and we start saying, Lord, I'm thankful. I love you. I praise you. I don't know what's going on, but I can look to you because I know you're going to help me. Something happens in the supernatural when that occurs. You remember the story of Job. Oh, gosh. Poor Job. I mean, listen, remember when I taught through the 42 chapters of Job, I entitled it, the series was The Happiest Book in the Bible. And it was the happiest book in the Bible because of all that occurred. Listen, Job didn't know what was going on in his life. The first two chapters open up with tragedy after tragedy, tragedy, whatever that word is. I'm thankful. Maybe I'm going to start stuttering in my life. I don't know, but I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Tragedy. Job loses his family. He loses his wealth. He loses his health. He doesn't know why. God calls Job the most righteous and upright and honorable man in all of the land. Unbelievable. Matter of fact, he says he's blameless. And the next thing you know, the Sabaeans come down and they take, his sheep or something and all the rest of that, and they kill all the servants but one, and the servant runs into Job's house and says, oh, Job, this is what's happened. All the livestock here is gone. The next one, then the Chaldeans come around and they take all the camels and all the rest of it and kill all the servants, and there's only me that's left. And then, you know, everything is gone. And then the last servant comes in and says to Job, oh, Job, there was a horrible storm and the fire of God and all the things that happened and your sons and daughters, all seven of your sons and your three daughters, they were all in the house and they were feasting and it fell in and every one of them, they're dead. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's tough, isn't it? And what did Job do? The Bible says that Job, it says he arose. It says that he tore his robe. He shaved his head, which is a sign of mourning. And it says that he fell to the ground and he cursed God. No, what did he do? He fell to the ground and what did he do? He worshiped God. He gave thanksgiving unto the Lord. Now listen, if Job did that, would you say that there's some kind of protection? Let's learn from Job. Something is happening when you start praising God in the midst of the terrible things that happen in life. Amen? Come on. And do you think it was easy for him to do that? Oh, listen, I would have turned my face to the wall and put my thumb in my mouth like Hezekiah did. Remember on the deathbed? Remember he was a crybaby. That would have been me. I'd have been crying and say, Lord, no. Job said, wait a minute. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what's going on. I've lost everything, everything, but I haven't lost my God. Let me ask you a question. If you lost everything today, would God be enough for you? You understand? I mean, if we lost everything, if everything fell apart in our society, everything started crumbling, you know, no insurance for anyone, no hospitals, or, you know, or if we lived in the Philippines and the horrible typhoon, the things that hit over, how would we be to see massive destruction from one end of the island to the next? Would we hurt? Yes, we would be hurting. I mean, it would be horrible. But you know what Job did? He fell prostrate before God and started giving God worship and thanks. And he cried out to the Lord, said, oh, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gave, the Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I look at that and I say, okay, Job, I want to learn from you. There's something that happens to a man or woman. Thanksgiving is not a day. Thanksgiving is always. And there's a reason for that, is that when we start in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of the trials of this life, in everything, not for those things, but in everything, give thanks. For why? God says, it's my will. It's my will for you. It's a command. It's my will, God says. And there's no place greater than being in the will of God. God says, let me, you get into my perfect will. You stay right there. Let me start helping you and just start praising me. Just let me start bringing healing to all of your emotional realm. That's what the Lord is saying. Listen, I need to ask you a question. How can in everything give thanks? Now, I asked myself this question last night. How can that in everything give thanks? How can that become a true living reality in my life? Not religious. I'm talking about a living reality. Amen? I mean, we all need to know that. And as I started making my notes, I said to myself, well, the first thing I believe is that we must know God's word. Okay? So we can't neglect the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God, but it goes deeper than that. The second thing we have to do is this one thing to know the Word of God. It's another thing to believe the Word of God that we know. See, when we believe with all of our hearts, see, the Word of God, believing the Word of God, God's Word is true, that is our foundation, correct? Well, if we don't have our foundation right, no wonder there's so many Christians that just say, I can't praise the Lord. I just can't be thankful right now. Look what's happened. No, listen. God says, I want you in my perfect will in everything. Not for it. In everything, though. Give thanks. Oh, Lord, I look to you. I look to you, Lord, and I just give you thanks. I worship you. I worship you. See, Thanksgiving is not a day. Thanksgiving is every day, isn't it? Thanksgiving is always. Thanksgiving unto the Lord is continually. Thanksgiving is in everything. Why? Why is it so important in everything give thanks? Because of this. Because we must know who we are in Christ Jesus. You say, well, Bill, I'm a Christian. Okay, but what does that mean? See, we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. What does the Bible say in 1 John 5:4? Let's take a foundational scripture. It says this. It says, whoever is born of God overcomes what? The world. Okay, well, what's the truth of that scripture? Okay, whoever is born of God. Are you born of God? Are you a Christian? Okay, then that right there is the requirement. That's it. Whoever is born again, born of God, whoever is, here's the deal. You've overcome the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? See, you may know that, but do you believe it? But you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm going through. God says you have overcome the world. And the reason that you've overcome the world, there's only one qualification. Whoever is born of God has overcome the world, period. That is a past, if you're born again, if you're a believer, that is a past fact. But is it a present reality that's living in your heart and living in your mind? You see, when we really take that scripture and say, wow, I've overcome this entire world system. And the reason I've overcome this world system is because I'm in the one who has overcome this world system. Amen? His name is Jesus Christ. And I start thinking about that and say, oh, Lord, that's right. Listen, whatever I'm facing, I can be thankful. I'm not for it, but in it. Why? Because whatever I am facing, Jesus is facing it with me. He's facing it with me. You know, I didn't know that when I was a young believer. I thought I was just, oh, Lord, where are you at? I would cry out, oh, God, where are you? You've deserted me, aren't you? Don't love me anymore, you know, yada, yada, yada. 1 John 4:17, foundational word here. As he is, so are we, where? In this world. Let me ask you a question. I know you know that scripture, but do you believe that scripture? Talking about Thanksgiving. Talking about Thanksgiving is not just a day. Thanksgiving is every day, always, continuously. Not for the hell that's coming into our life. The trials, the tribulations, or the sicknesses. No, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the object of our praise. Listen, as he is, 1 John 4:17, as Jesus is, now hold on, as Jesus is right this moment. Where is Jesus this moment? He's in our hearts. Yes, Christ in us, the hope of glory. But where is he seated? He's seated at the right hand of God, which means when he was seated at the right hand of God, our great high priest, he sat down, meaning that all of our sins have been purged and paid for and forgotten by God. As he is, the spotless, sinless, holy, Son of God, as he is the God-man right now, as he is in all of his glory, as he is, do you see that? So are we right now. I'm asking you if you believe that. You see, when circumstances come into our life, we lose loved ones or whatever happens. I'm telling you, we just start falling apart. I know that. I know how it is to fall apart. I'm just like y'all. But you know what? I believe God's word. And the only thing I know to do in my life is to go to the Word of God and say, God, you said it. If you've commanded it, surely you're going to enable me to do it. Amen? And I say, Lord, what I'm going through now is tearing my life apart. I'm hurting. But you know what? I stand before you right now as a conqueror, as an overcomer. I've overcome the world because you overcame it for me. And now I'm in Christ Jesus. And all that he is what I have now. Do you believe that? See, that is the word of God. And I say, okay, I can give you thanks for that, Lord. I can hold on to that. Just as he is, so are we in this world. That is our standing right now. And listen to me, Christian, you can't change that. So we can look at Thanksgiving and say, well, Thanksgiving is not just a day. I can be thankful every day because I know how. I know how to stand. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:37, it says, yet in, say that word with me, in, yet in all these things. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What are you in right now? What are you facing right now? It says, yet in all these things, okay, what things are you going through? Or you say, well, Bill, I'm just confused. I can't get through this confusion. Or, you know, the truth is that I'm so frustrated. You know, I'm frustrated too. You know, let me share something with you. And you probably think I'm weird, but that's okay. You know I am. You know what I don't like, you're going to say, now you're really being thankless. Okay, I'm going to be thankless for a second. I don't like not being able to do what I used to be able to do. Do you understand? I know you say, well, Bill, you still look 35. I know it. And I know that my muscles are bulging right through here, aren't they? I hate that I have a tree. The tree's about, we've been in that house now for 27, 28 years, I don't know. That tree is about 35 years old.
Huge, huge tree.
One of my favorite trees. I love trees. But you see, it's dying. I've taken down every tree. I don't have to have somebody pay somebody to have a tree taken down. Do you understand? Come on. I'm a man. I know how to operate a chainsaw. I know how to do it. I know how to rope that limb. I know all of that. Every morning I go out early and like 4:30 or whatever, pick up the paper, bring it in, put it on the table for Becky, you know, so coffee and all that. And when I walk out there, I look and see if the moon's up, and I always thank the Lord for my day. And then I look at that tree. And I start speaking to it. I say, I have a battle plan. I'm going to take you down one limb at a time because I can do it. I can still do it. And that tree says, no, you can't. Said, you could have done it last year, but you didn't. And you keep waiting and waiting, and I'm still rotting and all that. And you know what? You're a coward. Yet in all these things, I quote scripture to it. Yet in all these things, right now, whatever you're in, tree, your days are numbered. I don't care if it takes me 5 years. You will be limbless, believe me. Sometimes we're frustrated. What are you in right now? Maybe you feel friendless or maybe even penniless. I tell you, maybe life is so hard right now. You know, you say, Bill, and listen, if it is, in everything give thanks. But you don't understand, now if you're preaching on Thanksgiving, this is the holiday season, Bill. We're getting ready to go into the holiday season. I always get depressed at the holiday season. In everything, give thanks. Not for it, but in it. Amen? Why? You then step into the perfect will of God. Does that make sense? Man, and when you, that's what it's all, God says, get in my will. I know what you're going through. I know what you're praying for. I know what you need before you even ask me. Now start praising me. Start being thankful. God is not an egomaniac. He doesn't need our praises. We need to do it because it does something for us. When we start giving thanks unto the Lord, whatever we're going through, we're not a complaining people. We're not a people that is falling apart. It says in Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, and we could list them, remember, tribulation and persecution and distress and famine and nakedness. Listen to what God says. We are, that's present tense, right now, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Do you believe that? See, I can say, that's why I can say to that tree, ha, 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 you're going to die. I'm not. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going to win. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to, or anything that I'm facing. Listen, if we don't have the heart set and the mindset and the spiritual fortitude to say, you know what? God said it. And if he said it, there's a reason that he said it. In everything, give thanks. Lord, I'm going to get right into that in your perfect will because I am more than a conqueror. That is my, now listen, that is my and your eternal position in Christ Jesus. Amen? That forever you're going to be more than a conqueror. That's who you are because you're in Christ. I've said it a lot of times here that victory is not an attitude. You know, well, I feel like I'm a winner. No, no, no. Victory is not an attitude. Victory is our position. And that means that 24/7, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through in your life, you can honestly do this. In everything, give thanks. Not for it, but in it, because something happens when we do that. So whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What's the next phrase? Our faith. Actually, it should read your faith. See, faith is the key, isn't it? That's why I said a moment ago, it's our foundation. See, to know the Word of God, but then not really act upon it, meaning to believe it, then we have a problem. See, that's why we get in so much trouble, is because, you know, why thanklessness can just rule in our hearts and rule in our minds. It says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, not our fighting, but our faith. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Everyone who is born again has overcome the world. Amen? That's true. If you're a believer, yes, you've overcome the world. That is our position in Christ Jesus. But why is it that it's not the practice of so many? Well, the reason is because of faith. See, we have to literally claim that position that God has given us. The Word of God doesn't lie. That God has given us. How do we claim it? By faith. Listen, whenever we come boldly to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace, you know, that we might obtain and have mercy and have obtained those things that we have need of in time of need. Remember that? I quoted it all wrong, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay? Well, how do you come to the throne of grace? By what? By faith. Do you go there every morning? I mean, you go in and it says you can obtain. Well, we have to appropriate the things that God has already given us by faith. Every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3, belongs to us. But we have to appropriate them by faith. Lord, I don't like what's happening to me. Oh, this is painful. But by faith in your word, in everything, give thanks. Lord, I'm being obedient because you have commanded me to do that. You see, faith is the means, okay? The faith that God has given us, not some hyper faith or, Romans 12:3, that the measure of the faith that God has already given unto us, okay? No, faith is the means, and where there is no faith, I promise you, there will be no victory. Because if we don't believe in putting into practice what it says there in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. If we don't put that into practice, that means we don't believe it. Amen? That's exactly what it means. Now, why does our faith conquer? It's because faith has an object. His name is Jesus. Amen? We look to the author, the finisher of our faith. We look to the one who loves us, who came for us, who died for us, died on the cross for us, and the one who is coming for us. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 8, it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be to God who sometimes leads us in triumph in Christ. Yeah, well, amen. It says, now thanks be to God. Giving him praise, Paul shouts, thanks to God who always, not sometimes, who always leads us in triumph. How does he do it? It says, in Christ. Listen, wherever God is leading you, Lord, I'm going to obey your word. In everything give thanks. I see what's happening to me, but in everything give thanks, Lord. And now I'm in the perfect will of God. And God says, here's the deal. I'm leading you now because you're following me. You're doing what the Word of God says. See, Thanksgiving is just not a day, folks. It's every day. Amen? It's every day. It's a spiritual discipline that when we put it into practice, things start changing. God says, oh, no. Now, thanks be to God who always, that means all the time, is leading us in triumph, and he does it in Christ Jesus. If he's leading you, he's leading you to victory. You remember, you know, God leads us sometimes, we think that can't be victory. Amen? How about Paul and Silas when they were there preaching the word of God, and that little girl, that slave girl with the spirit of divination was, you know, prophesying or speaking the word out to them all the time. Paul cast that spirit out of her, and the next thing you know, boy, they arrest Paul and Silas, and they beat their backs bloody with rods, and they put them in their feet in stocks, and stretch them out, and so forth. They're in the dungeon, the lowest part of the dungeon. That's the sewer, and they're beaten bloody and so forth. It says, what did they do? It says in Acts 16:25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Imagine that. Here I am in the will of God, and look what happened. I'm charged, but I'm not even guilty for what they charged me with. They beat me for no reason. Plus, Paul was a Roman citizen, which was against the law to do. They couldn't do that to him, but they did it anyway. Now, there Paul, you know, is in the prison. But the problem that I see, or not the problem, but the thing he's doing, he's giving thanks unto God right there in the darkness. And I have to ask myself, like I did last night, I said, okay, Father, what is it? I said, I know when I'm thankless. I know when I don't, when I look at situations too long and not, and don't enter into a thankful heart and look to you knowing that we're going to get through it. I fail at that just like everyone. But we have to catch ourselves and move back to the right position. Amen? And I was thinking, why? What do they have? Paul doesn't have anything more than we have. We have, amen? We have the same Lord, the same power. And you know, and they were there worshiping and all of that. And I can sing really good when everything's going well. Can't you? Boy, I'm happy just singing, praising the Lord, giving the Lord thanks. But when things are falling apart, what do? When I read this very familiar story last night from Acts chapter 16, I stopped right there and I asked myself a question. I said, okay, Father, I want to learn from Paul. I want to learn from Paul. And I said, he was giving thanks. Now listen very carefully. That was Paul's first resort. How about you? I mean, I'm going to ask you a question. When you go through a trial, do you feel it? Do you ever wake up at night and fear starts flooding into your heart and mind? Okay. What would happen if you started praising the Lord and giving thanks unto the Lord instead of letting that occupy your spirit being? You see what I mean? Your person, you know? And I think about this. Listen, now, do you think Paul was hurting? If you'd been beaten with rods and your back was all blood, you think you'd be hurting? Yes, his pain was real. If he was stretched out on those horrible stocks, his feet and all of that bent over, they stretched you so tight, the Romans did, you know. And I mean, there you are in the stinking sewer, the lower place of the dungeon, and there's no light, there's only darkness. And Paul and Silas, man, they start giving thanks unto the Lord, and everyone in the prison is listening from them. And I think to myself, I want to be like that. I want to say, oh, Lord, you know what? Something happens when we start praising God and giving thanks unto God, not for what we're going through, but in whatever we're going, in the midst of it. We just do that. Something happens. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you in prison? Are you in a painful place? I don't mean like with the bars and all of that, but maybe, you know, you could be in a prison of fear. Boy, fear hath torment, doesn't it? Fear, I mean, fear, you can feel it. You know it hath torment. This is going to happen to you. It's not going to happen. We have so much fear. No. Or the prison of fear, the prison of depression. Oh, the loneliness, the despair that's there. The prison of anxiety, gripping and trying to rule your heart and rule your mind, or just the circumstances in life, or just life in general. But what in the midst of all of that, no matter what it is, you can feel the pain, you can feel the suffering, you can see the circumstances, but what if you turned away, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, that we walk by faith and not by sight, and we say, Lord, I'm getting ready to get back in your perfect will. I was just about ready to be a thankless Christian, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And Lord, I know that you see everything that's happening, but right now I give thanks to you who loves me, who died for me, who will keep me, who calls me more than conqueror. Oh, who calls me blessed, who says, open your mouth wide, God says, and I will fill it. Amen. To where we take the scriptures and we say, I not only know the scriptures, I believe the scriptures and I apply them to my life. What if we obeyed that? What would happen? I tell you, it would change everything, your heart set, your mindset, and all of it. You know, I believe with all of my heart, and I'm not saying I believe this in my early walk with the Lord, because I didn't, but I believe it today. I believe that I can say in whatever we're facing,
in everything give thanks. Not that I've arrived at that place, and not that I don't have to fight to get to that place, but I believe that scripture with all my heart, that Lord, whatever it is, and why do I believe that? Because I believe the word. What does it say? For we know that all things, amen? We know that all things, not a few things, not all things, everything. We know that all things work together. They're working however they're coming. Work together for what? For good. For good. Well, I don't, Lord, this. Tell me what's good about this. Oh, don't worry, Bill. It's working on your behalf. It's working for you. Whenever evil comes against you, I'm telling you, it's working for you because you belong to me. And what the Word of God says is going to come to pass. Amen? Just trust my Word. Trust me. Walk in faith. Believe what I'm saying. All things work together for good to those that love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. You remember what happened, you know, there with Paul. There they were hurting and they were wounded, but they turned away from their circumstances and they started giving thanks unto the Lord. And it says, and suddenly something happened. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open. Listen carefully. And everyone's chains were loosed. Now listen. The giving of thanks in the midst of whatever we're facing is a powerful, powerful weapon. Amen? I mean, listen, you don't know what is when we start thanking the Lord because we're in the will of God. And here it is. We've got all of these circumstances. And I look at those circumstances just like I was reading there in the book of Acts about Paul. I believe, now listen, that when we are in the midst of thanking the Lord, in the midst of that, now listen, all of those circumstances, there's like an earthquake going on in the spiritual realm. And all of those things, they start crumbling and falling and they're being vanquished and removed, defeated. Why? Because we're in the perfect will of God because we have now decided to do what He says to do. Amen? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, there's no one like You because, see, Thanksgiving is just not a day, loved one. Thanksgiving is daily. Always, continually, whatever we're doing and in everything. That's what Thanksgiving is really about. Thanksgiving unto the Lord. Now let's close by turning in our Bibles to Psalm 100, please. Psalm 100. This Psalm of Thanksgiving. I want to close with this morning. Psalm 100. Just a few short verses, five of them. In verse 1 of Psalm 100, this psalm of thanksgiving, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Or literally it would be all the earth, not just Israel here. It's talking about everybody on the planet. It says, make. Listen, did you know that is a command for public praise? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. God likes a joyful shout. He likes that. A joyful shout. Do it to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. He says, serve the Lord with what? With a long face. I'm fasting and praying. Oh, look at me. Serve the Lord. You walk into the nursery. He says, serve the Lord. Oh, where are the diapers that need changing? Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to go serve today, going to go serve God today. We're a bunch of complainers. God says, I want you to serve me with what? Gladness. Gladness. You know what? Everything would change if we just did what God said to do. Lord, you told me to serve you with gladness. Just like me, when I wasn't glad about picking up all those papers out there on the church lawn, but I was very glad to get $20. Do you understand? Oh, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Oh, look at this one. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, contrary to what all these evolutionists are saying. and not we ourselves. And look at these three words, and I pray you underline them and then meditate them on later today. Look at this. We are His. If we just, those three words, we are His. We belong to Him. Man, listen, we belong to the most powerful, the only God, the only living and true God. We are His. Man, how can we not just say, oh, Lord, yes, we have circumstances. Yes, I'm sick. Oh, God, yes, I hate it. And, Lord, I believe you're going to heal me. But for right now, I'm coming to you with my anxiety, my fear, whatever it is, my no money, whatever it is, no job. My family's falling apart. My wife has left me. My husband has left, whatever it is. And I'm going to give you thanks. Not for the problems, Lord, but in everything, give thanks because it's your will. And I want to be in your will. We are His. I love that. We belong to Him. We are His people. And look what He calls us, the sheep of His pasture. Aren't you glad that we have the Good Shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep? And sheep need a shepherd, and that's us, loved one. Jesus is our Lord. And He says, oh, now watch this. Enter, or literally, come into His presence. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. When we come to this place here, we ought to enter and say, we're here to thank the Lord and be thankful and enter with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise. Look at this again. Be thankful to the circumstance? No. To the warfare? No. To the problem at hand? No. Be thankful to Him. And do what? Bless His name. Why should we be thankful? Look at it. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures for all generations. Every generation can experience God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's truth. Thanksgiving is not a day. Thanksgiving is every day. Amen. Every day. I pray in the name of Jesus that you've taken this word this morning and you start applying it immediately to your circumstance. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever heartache that you're in right now, and you just start saying, Lord, I am going to step up and I'm going to get right into your perfect will because I am going to start being thankful. And the object of my thankfulness is the one who has rescued me, the one who's going to rescue me, and the one is going to deliver me. Amen. And therefore it all fades away out of our hearts. From my home to your home, I bid you a blessed Thanksgiving. I bid you a Christ-centered Thanksgiving. I pray that the relatives that come, you know, like Uncle Joe that may drink too much or whatever, you know, that you just say, well, there's Uncle Joe. He drinks too much again, you know, but Uncle Joe, I'm going to love you. You understand what I'm getting at? I mean, where we walk in love, that we're a people that's known by our love, not because we take the Bible and slap unbelievers across the face with it, that we say, no, you know what? You're not born again. Now what are you going to do? You can't act like you're saved. Listen, don't let anything steal Thanksgiving from you. And don't let anything steal your thanks from you, or thanks to God from you every day. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you today. That, Lord, there is indeed no one like you. And we know that whatever the day or the night may bring, that, Lord God, we are and stand forever, eternally more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us, and that nothing shall ever, ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. And Lord, we trust your word. We trust your word this morning. It is our foundation. We build our hearts and lives and homes on the integrity and the faithfulness of your word, O God. And we believe with all of our heart that no matter what we're facing, that we can stand at the throne of grace by your mercy and goodness. And we can say, in everything, we give thanks because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. concerning us. Oh, Lord, thank you. Those that are not, Lord, that don't know you this morning, I pray that they would come to this altar after we close out. They would come and say, I want Jesus to be my Lord and be my Savior. That they'd find one of the elders or what to pray with. One of the deacons, someone to pray with. Lord, that as we travel, as this wintry weather comes in, keep us all safe as we journey to our homes. And Lord, keep us all safe as we journey to maybe be with family and relatives or whatnot on Thanksgiving Day. We love you, we praise you, and we offer our thanks to you, to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet.